Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. I am your host, John Nose, and on the phone we have
Skipper.
Josh Skipper. All right, Josh, I appreciate you coming on the show today, man.
I appreciate you having me, man.
So, just to give a little background here, Josh, you own and operate, run, manage a Facebook group called Magic the Gathering Family and Friends. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And so basically it's just about everybody who loves Magic the Gathering. It's one big community. We all come together on that Facebook group. Am I getting this right?
That's correct.
Okay. And when did you start the Facebook group?
Started about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's a while ago, man. And you got how many people? 200 and something?
I think right now we're at 233 members. Just added two new members, yesterday, or the day before. I'm actually just getting back to managing the group. I've been out of Magic for about the last two and a half years. And trying about, to get it back up and get some new members.
About 2.5 years?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, you play Magic the Gathering Arena.
That's correct. I'm actually playing right now, playing some Jumpstart. playing Dragon Safari.
Okay, so yeah, just get right into the news here. First, before we get into it, I want to remind the listeners that over on our YouTube, the Cryptic Commander podcast on YouTube, if you just type in the Cryptic Commander podcast, if you click on the About section, it should have a link to our Patreon and our Facebook group. We changed our Patreon levels of support to $1, $3, and $8. All right, just get right into it. The first bit of news is U.S. and Latin America in-store play suspended. So apparently they open up the stores for everybody to go in and play Friday Night Magic and tournaments. And then just a few days ago, they went ahead and took that back. In-store play suspended.
Yeah, I heard about that. It sucks with all the COVID going on and everything. I heard that a lot of states are about to shut back down and everything. I kind of felt like this was going to happen. I felt like they kind of jumped the gun on trying to restart everything. I know everybody was wanting to get back out and get out the house and everything, but, I mean, it is a pandemic. And it's the worst thing that the United States has faced probably ever.
Exactly. I agree with you, man. You know, we don't want anybody getting sick, especially Magic the Gathering players, let alone anybody.
Right. Like I said, it's not just us, it's the rest of the world, too. You know, it's affected, so it's crazy, man.
Yeah, even people who are listening right now, they might be cooped up in their houses, not being able to go out and do anything, you know. So our hearts go out to everybody that's feeling the effect of this, too.
Exactly, and that's one thing I do love about Arena. That's one way, if you do have a PC, that we, community players, we can still come together and play and try and enjoy the game and stuff, you know.
Absolutely. I love playing Paper Magic, but Arena, it's my backup for right now. Speaking of Arena, yeah. There's a tournament coming up, a historic only, so the format historic. You can win up to $2,000 cash, I believe, August 1st.
Yeah, I was reading about that. I'm not sure if I'm entering or not. Don't think I have enough historic cards to really hold my own in it. But, hey, anybody that does, I'd go for it.
There's a little bit of information I did write down. It says 7 wins gets you into day 2. Once you get 2 losses, you're out. And you can play this over and over as much as you want. You get 2,000 gems per win. Also, $1,000 cash if you win 6 times, and $2,000 cash if you win 7 times.
Yeah, it's an amazing prize. I mean, that's anybody that's out there that's going to be able to accomplish that. That's going to help them out a lot.
Now, do you play Standard much besides Arena or just Arena only?
Actually, that's mainly what I do play on Arena and Standard because it makes it more affordable and more approachable for me since I don't have a whole lot of money to go out and buy it on paper. And like I said, right now with COVID going on, there's not really a lot of actual paper magic going on.
Yeah. Yeah, you see a lot of people playing on Arena and through the Zoom or you know, Facebook Messenger and stuff like that?
Yeah, it was like, I mean, I did play with my roommate, Paper Magic. Me and him are both longtime players and everything. We play for the U.S. Parliament and stuff like that. Other than that, we don't really get to play too much, anything paper-wise.
There's some cards in the standard. There's a, I'm not sure if this is a good combo. I wrote it down right before I started the podcast. But these cards are in standard. There's three of them. You might recognize them. Folio of the Fancies, Smothering Tithe, and Volcanic Geyser.
Say Smothering Tithe, I recognize that one. That's
one. Yeah, Folio of the Fancies, I believe, is that artifact that mills your opponent or whatever.
I think so. I've been playing a whole lot of blue and red lately. I've been playing a lot of white and green for standard. I do have a mono green standard deck that I'm pretty proud of, and it's actually pretty powerful.
Do you want to do a little deck tech on that or no?
Yeah, I can do that. Give me just a second.
Sure.
Get out of it and look and see what I... can't remember at the moment what I actually have in it. I've changed my quite a bit. Since the release of the Force at 21, you know, Garuk is actually really powerful. I've actually seen a few YouTube streamers saying how powerful Mono Green is in standard right now.
Yeah, Mono Green Stompy is a thing.
Yeah. Oh, and it's fun. I mean, if you want to go all out. And mine is actually Mono Green Mutate with a little bit of ramp on it.
While you're looking that up, Jumpstart hit Arena on the 16th, which was yesterday, and that lasts all the way until August 16th. You said you played a little bit of that. I also played a little bit of Jumpstart.
Yeah, I actually watched your video yesterday a little bit at work when I was on break.
Oh!
I noticed you drafted was Mono Blue.
Mono Red, yeah. I played a Mono Red. I did it on YouTube. So the Cryptic Commander podcast on YouTube, yeah. I picked a red pack, and then I didn't like the other options except for they gave me another red pack. So I was like, okay, let's try it. And then I think I was on there for like 2 minutes. I lost, yeah.
Right. That was me. I think it was my first draft that I did with it. I was playing Pirates, and I was blue-red. I think I went 2-3 with it. It wasn't too bad. So far, the Dragon Teferi done decent.
It's got some...
glad to get the buff out of the deal, honestly.
It's got some benefits. You get to keep the cards. You know, each pack has its own packet land, it's called, which has alternative artwork.
Got one of them awesome islands, you know, with that new artwork. Mm-hmm. I love... that's one of the things about Arena I do love is the different card sleeves and styles that you can put on your cards and get.
Mm-hmm.
Daily deals in the store.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really cheap packs. You can get a pack for like 700 gold.
Yeah, you can play as much as you want or as little as you want.
Exactly. You don't really have to do a whole pay to play.
Well, it costs 400 gems or 2,000 gold.
And I didn't even like know that there was an option until I was watching this another YouTube streamer who was playing, and I lost my train of thought there.
You didn't know it was an option?
Yeah, I didn't know it was an option, and I actually started playing. It was the standard event, you know, where you can go in, and if you win sometimes, you get a lot of gold off that.
Oh, yeah, the standard event, yeah, and then the historic events, yeah. You can win more gold, so it's like a gamble, more or less.
Right, it's like, I think it's up to 7 times you win, and then you get 3 cards most of the time if you win, and they're usually uncommon. I think sometimes you get a rare. Like I said, the gold benefit off that is good, and that's what I usually try to do, is save up my gold and use that for my entry fees on most of them.
Oh, speaking of which, too, upcoming this next Saturday, there's a tournament on Magic the Gathering Arena called Red Bull Untapped International Qualifiers. It's a standard format. Go ahead.
Oh, so I hadn't heard about that one.
Yeah, the Red Bull Untapped International Qualifiers, standard format, $75,000 is on the line.
Wow.
Yeah, this Saturday.
That is pretty cool.
Which I believe is tomorrow. One thing, too, is...
Especially whoever wins that.
Yeah, there's I saw an article somewhere where it said, introducing Magic the Gathering companion app. And I remember just from a couple of years ago that there was a Magic the Gathering companion app, you know, an official app from Wizards of the Coast. It had your life point checker on there and look up the rules kind of a thing. But this ain't new. Apparently they just took the same app and tweaked it. But it is in Magic the Gathering news, so I thought I'd go ahead and share that with everybody.
Yeah, I actually just saw it on the website the other day and downloaded it. It is pretty neat. It's got all the different formats on it for whatever type you want to play with your friends at home. If you are playing Magic and still getting together, mm-hmm. It's got counters for everybody. It's got death triggers, all the stuff. It's got so many different features they've thrown into it. You can even hold it for events. Like, you can tie it in with Arena and stuff like that, I believe, and host your own events and stuff like that with friends.
I'm definitely interested in this deck tech with this green and white deck you're talking about.
I have so many different decks I've built. I have just updated my Kitties and Friends Mutate deck. It went off the fact with so many triggers, it was insane. I was just laughing. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, I'm not trying to be one of the people to take forever on a turn, but I did not expect it to be that many triggers. I was like, wow. I was like, thank goodness for Arena keeping track of triggers, because in a regular game, I don't think I would have kept up with that many, to be honest. Mono black is not a nice color to play against. It is mean and brutal. And any experienced Magic player out there knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah, that's all right. Let's just skip to our...
I do want to remind our... Well... I want to let the listeners know that the quality of today's podcast is because of the way I'm doing the reason why the quality of the podcast is the way it is because of the setup today with our guest. I am working on the audio quality with the mixer/audio interface as well. So on the next episode, it should be fixed.
Yeah, I've got you. All right, man. I got that list up, that mono green one I was talking about.
Okay, yeah. So just make sure you speak clearly. Go ahead.
Okay, it's mono green. I call it Green Means Business. We're running 4-arm Boreal Grazer, 4 Paradise Druid, 4 Ram Through, because it's just such a much better card than using anything that makes your opponent fight you. I mean, the utility on it is just so much better. 2 Glowstone Recluse, 4 Gem Razors, 4 Migratory Great Horn, 2 Nylea Keen Eye, 4 Garuk Unleashed. Let's see, we're running 2 Questing Bees, 2 Auspicious Starix, 2 Iron Scale Hydra, 1 Aggressive Mammoth, and 1 Great Hinge. And our land count is 21 forests, and we're running 3 Interplanar Beacons. It is such a fun deck. You got your Arboreal Grazer and your Paradise Druid for your ramp. Then, usually by turn 2, you're looking around 4 mana, because mutating Migratory Great Horn onto your Arboreal Grazer and attacking with it, usually hitting for 3. Then you got your Paradise Druid, Glowstone Recluse, start mutating that on there, adding some counters, making them even bigger. I mean, late game, once you get on the Auspicious Starix, if you've got a creature that you can mutate it a couple different times, then you're just bringing out all kinds of other stuff on the battlefield, just overwhelming your opponent.
Plus, that druid has hexproof, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really good to mutate that over and over and over too. Now, if anybody
you sit there and mutate that, so your opponent can't sit there and return it to your hand or do anything like that, dude. The utility on it is actually just really good. I was really proud of the build. I changed it up, like I said, since I originally built it. When I did originally build it, I was running standard. It did get me up to diamond rank tier one last season before it reset. I was trying to hit mythic, didn't quite get there, didn't play enough. I was disappointed, but that's okay. I made a few adjustments to it, and I haven't played a whole lot here lately. I've been trying to build some other stuff and play some new different things.
I want to go ahead and bring the attention back to your Facebook group, Magic the Gathering Family and Friends, or is it Friends and Family? Family and Friends?
MPG. A World of Magic Family and Friends.
World of Magic Family and Friends. Okay.
Yeah, it's World of Magic. You know, because we're all playing MTG, and it's World of Magic, and we can all come together and have fun and enjoy ourselves and congregate peacefully.
So World of Magic Family and Friends is the name of the Facebook group. And if anybody has any questions about that deck that you were talking about, you're Josh Skipper, Joshua Skipper. So they can ask you right there on the Facebook group as well. And if anybody's curious or wants to join the Facebook group, it's an open Facebook group too, from what I'm hearing. Oh yeah, that's because that's the new Facebook thing. I read something about that. They're just up.
I was very disappointed in that. Yeah. I was wanting to change the settings because, like I said, I made the group about 4 years ago, and they've changed so much, and I haven't really been that active with Facebook. The
only yeah.
I've gotten actively to get back out there with my Magic community. You know,
they're upping the security on Facebook is what it is.
That's what they were saying in the settings when I went and looked at it. So, unfortunately, it is a private group, like I said, but I'm always open to any requests. It is visible. You can see it if you search for it, and if you send a request, then I will add you. I am open to all people of the Magic community. Like I said, everyone's welcome. Like I said, we are friends and family.
Yeah. And going back to the Cryptic Commander podcast, the show that we're on right now, we have a mission statement. From day one, we have a mission statement. Our mission statement is Magic the Gathering is best with a communal experience. And a big part of that is when it stemmed from knowledge. Getting assistance where needed makes it far more enjoyable.
Exactly. I mean, welcome new players into the group, you know, community and the group and stuff. Don't try and bully them and you know, make them not want to play it and stuff. Help them out, help them learn, you know. There's a lot of, I hate to say it, but there is a portion of the community out there who are not friendly to new players, and it does push them away from the game.
Just like any community, there's toxic people in the community, yeah. You know. But for the majority of it, yeah, trolls, yeah. But for the majority part of it, we are all out here to help each other out, you know.
Exactly. And so we all need to remember that we're all human, and the more we help our fellow man or our fellow brother and stuff, the better off the whole community, the whole world.
Now, you started playing Magic the Gathering at what set?
Back in Lorwyn block.
Lorwyn, okay. One of my favorite sets.
Well, it's still my favorite set because, I mean, it's my origins.
When I first created this podcast, I wanted to have a podcast to where when I get done listening to it, I just want to start playing Magic the Gathering. Is there any advice or any words of wisdom that you can give our listeners?
Just, if you're new to the game, you know, just reach out there. Like, there's plenty of people that are willing to help you out, like, get you into the game and stuff. I mean, overall, like I said, there is a little bit of a toxic part to the community, but for the most part, NTG is a real, like, welcoming community and everything. I've got cards still waiting for a friend to send to him to help him out with decks and stuff because he's during hard times. Because I have so many extras and stuff, I was like, here, I'll send you a gift box. Just pay for the shipping.
I have some notes here going back on the ban and restricted announcement last on the, July 13th. I believe it was Monday, regardless. But I have a list of cards here in front of me that are banned and restricted. And there's even one here that's unbanned, so I'll just get into it. You might know some of these cards here. A lot of them were in Magic the Gathering Arena. So, Historic, for that format, Agent of Treachery is banned. It was suspended, but now it's banned. Wynota, Joiner of Forces, is banned. It was suspended. Fires of Invention is banned. It was suspended. Nexus of Fate is banned. And last but not least, in Historic, Burning Tree Emissary is suspended. Not banned. Suspended. Did you see any of that coming?
Oh, yeah. Except for the Burning Tree Emissary?
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming either, yeah. I saw the rest of them coming, yeah. And Wynota, I was screaming for Wynota. People can go back to previous podcasts and hear me talk about Wynota. I'm like, Wynota's an issue.
Yeah, I mean, she really was. I mean, I actually entered that tournament, the first standard that they had here previously. I think it was a month or so back that had the same prize as the one that's coming up for Historic. Mm-hmm. But, I just got beat up so bad. I got knocked out like without even winning once. I was so disappointed.
On the next format, Pioneer. And I was really surprised even here Pioneer was on this list. But there's no bans. And that's what I was looking for. I was like, wait, Pioneer? I was looking for a ban. There's one card, Oath of Nissa, is unbanned. Do you remember that card or do you know about that card, Oath of Nissa?
Seen it and actually, it looks like it was pretty nasty. I was like, they're
abandoning
it. I
want to
put it in my mono deck.
Yeah. Here, I'll pull it up real quick for the listeners here. Oath of Nissa. So, it wasn't too far ago. I remember it cost 1 green. Here it is. And I think it was Kaladesh. I'm wrong. It's Oath of the Gatewatch. So, it's a legendary enchantment for 1 green. And when it comes into the battlefield, look at the top 3 cards of your library. You may reveal a creature, land, or planeswalker card from among them, and put that in your hand. Put the rest into the bottom of your library in any order. On the bottom of this card, it says, you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast planeswalker spells.
Yeah, that card's just insane.
That's 1 green. Yeah.
It's like, what? It's like, that's a green opt. It's like, but try 3 instead of 1, and then I'm going to draw a card, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then I can cast any color I want for the Planeswalkers, yeah. Moving on to Modern, which is one of my favorite formats. Cube would be my favorite format, but Modern. Arkham's Astroblade is banned. I'm not familiar with this card. Let's pull it up here.
Arkham's Astroblade. Sounds familiar, but I'm not very familiar with it off the top of my head.
I have it right here. Apparently it is, oh boy, it's a snow permanent, so it costs 1 snow land, and it says in parentheses, the snow icon can be paid with 1 mana from a snow permanent, and it's a snow artifact. It reads, when this comes to the battlefield, draw a card, and it's a mana fixer. Pay 1, tap, add any 1 mana of any color. So it's a mana fixer, and draw a card for 1 snow permanent.
Whoa.
That's banned in Modern. Okay, that'd be interesting. I mean, I play Modern, and I'm not really familiar with that card. Maybe it's in Tron. I don't know. Listeners out there, if you know more than I do, please fill me in. I can go through Reed Duke's. As a matter of fact, I will here in a second here. Let's just go right over to it. Hold on. So it says, while there's nothing bad about multicolor, good stuff decks have a place in the metagame. Their power and flexibility is usually counterbalanced by making concessions in their mana bases, often through lands that enter the battlefield tap, cost life, or involve some other deck building restriction. This card, Arkham's Astroblade, makes this trade-off come at a low, at too low of a cost, and permanent, and can be blinked or recorded for card advantage. In short, it adds too much to these decks for too little cost, resulting in win rates that are unhealthy and unstable for the metagame. Therefore, it's banned in Modern. And they're keeping an eye on that card in Legacy for similar reasons, by the way.
But, you know, the like main format that's played is Standard. It's like, why are they worrying about Modern when that's not a very played format because it's so expensive to play? The decks that are running in Modern are so overpowered if they're on paper. I mean, you're looking at, probably a couple $1,000s on some of them.
You got to remember, too, when your Standard cards rotate, you don't really have much of use for them. I mean, maybe Pioneer, but Modern was the thing that we had to fall back on back in the day. So it was when Standard rotated out, you just set those aside, and it's like, well, now this can go in any one of my Modern decks, you know, and then the next set would rotate out. And you're like, oh, cool, then these can go in my Modern decks. You know, even though the Standard cards were legal to put in your Modern, it was just almost as if you spent all this money on these cards, you don't want to lose them, you don't want to go sell them, you want to play with them, so you're going to make a Modern deck. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, actually. I mean, that's why I got in with Commander, because he was more affordable. I didn't have to buy four sets of a,
yeah,
you know, $20-$30 card or something to put it into a deck. And I didn't really like playing a real quick game, because in Standard and Modern and stuff like that, a lot of your games are going to be over turn three or four, and they're not going to take very long. Especially if you play on paper with friends, you know your deck, it ain't gonna take you long. You gotta sit there like the arena with some people that take you.
Now, Popper, do you play Popper at all? You know about Popper? Like the only commons?
Popper, never have actually played it.
Okay, so it's only commons, period. You can't put uncommons or rares or nothing like that, just commons. In that format, Expedition Map is banned and Mystic Sanctuary is banned.
I did see the ban on the Expedition Map. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, Mystic Sanctuary. I mean, I understand. It comes in tapped unless you control three islands, and then you can go get a like sorcery instant from your graveyard and put it in your hand. But I guess it's too strong for Pauper.
Like I said, I've never seen the actual format even played by anyone.
I've never played Pauper. I know there's a lot of people out there who play Pauper, even some people who are listening to this right now. Are probably even playing Popper, you know. But I've never played Popper.
I've got plenty of commons for Aether Revolt. I bought about like 2,000 or 3,000 of just like commons and uncommons that a guy from one of my LGSs that's a local judge was selling $25 for. I'm like, hey, I'll take it. It's like, you can never have too many magic cards.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at a room I have dedicated to nothing but Magic the Gathering boxes. You know?
All right. I mean, I've showed some of my friends' kids, like, have come over and stuff, and they're in their teenage years and stuff, and then playing Magic. But they see my closet, and they're just, like, drooling. They're like,
Well, that's going to conclude today's show. Is there anything else you wanted to tell the listeners?
Is making it through this COVID situation okay and hasn't had anyone that they know cracked it, and if you have, then my prayers and my heart is with you, and y'all have a good day.
There you go. You heard it from Josh first. Josh, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And again, you guys can find Josh over on the Facebook group called World of Magic the Gathering Family and Friends. Until next time, keep spell slinging.